Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
Here we are. Welcome, everybody. Another episode of Compliance Pointers. I am joined today by Steve Haley, our Director of Cyber Services. Steve, good to have you on.
Thanks, Jordan. It's good to see you. You know, Happy New Year, starting off the new year, right?
Happy New Year to you as well. Yeah, hard to believe it's almost February. We're a week away from the last day in January.
Yeah, it seems to move faster the older you get, Jordan.
Man, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
So what's our topic today, Jordan?
You already know. We're talking about third-party vendor risk management, a topic I think is very near and dear to you, not just because of what you do at Compliance Point, but because of your previous experience at other organizations and, you know, 20 plus years in cybersecurity. And so, you know, we're going to talk about what I think is probably high level stuff for our listeners and viewers, but it's stuff that I've seen over the course of my 10 plus years in this industry that continues to be looked over, continues to be brushed to the side, continues to get organizations in trouble. And there's just no clear answer, it seems, for what's the right balance. What's too much vendor management? What's too scrutinizing? What's, filtering them out too much based on their security maturity? And what's not enough? And you know, how do you balance that? And what are best practices for it? So we're going to do a quick snippet today. It's going to be mainly you talking, per usual, because there's not so much they can learn from me about this topic. But I got some questions and some things in mind that you and I have discussed before this for our audience and our viewers. And I'll take this time to remind them all that this is a Compliance Point podcast. As you can see by the logo behind you, and Steve is a Compliance Point employee. However, this is really meant to educate the marketplace, educate customers and prospects alike, partners, competitors, other organizations, right? I think everybody can benefit from this sort of knowledge, whether that means they come to work with us one day or they never do. I think it's good for everybody involved.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And you know, regardless of the topics that we cover, we're just trying to, you know, help the community out, right? And be good stewards, in the security practice areas. You know, this is a really interesting topic. It continues to be a... I'm sorry?
For some.
For some.
You bring it up, they're like, please don't bring that up to me.
Understood. Understood. But, you know, there's a lot of news around third parties and the risk that third parties pose to organizations. And actually, it's a critical relationship to most businesses, right? So it really is an important area, and for those that don't watch the news, for those that do watch the news, I mean, you see a lot of breaches coming across the news wire, and a significant amount of those are actually created through a third party.
Right. Not by the organization that is deemed to be at fault, right?
Correct.
Or is liable or responsible, whether it's their brand reputation or some sort of financial consequences or any of the above. You're right. In a good number of those cases, it was their vendors. And so you could argue it was a lack of due diligence or, you know, oversight or lack thereof, depending on how you use that word, what they were doing. But I think you answered my first question, right? Which is, why is third-party risk management important? I think that's maybe a rhetoric question, but it's about liability, right? It's about protecting your customers, your data, any sort of sensitive information, data or whatnot, trade secrets you have, and the activities that your vendors are doing or performing on your behalf.
Yeah,
how that could potentially get your organization in hot water. I mean, would you give any other reasons behind, other than that? I know that's pretty broad.
Yeah, I mean, a third-party risk management program, an effective third-party risk management program, you know, really should be designed in a way that actually ensures the organization can effectively manage and mitigate the risks associated with, you know, their customers' data and or downstream, you know, entities, i.e. third parties, and or, you know, other business relationships that you're entrusting them with client data as well, right? And so ultimately, the importance of a program is to protect sensitive data, comply with regulatory compliance. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, compliance and regulatory components and safeguards that are now being pushed down to the businesses that they need to comply with, right? And third parties come into that mix as well. I would also say, you know, having an effective program provides some level of operational resiliency because it's required in some levels to be able to ensure that, you know, you're protecting data, not just in one location, but maybe in multiple locations. And that's where the resiliency comes in. And then at the end of the day, it's really safeguarding, you know, your reputation and maintaining that trust relationship with your, you know, B2C, business to customer relationships, and B2B, you know, business to business relationships. So, you know, really is a critical component in any organization's, you know, security program.
Well, well put. It's a critical component in the workings of it, any organization. That's what you just said. But what are the critical or core components of the third-party risk management program?
It's a good question. You know, we go into a lot of organizations that, you know, have different levels of maturity as it relates to third-party risk management, right? We go into some that don't have any. We go into some that may have some components. And then we go into others that are very mature, right? But everything can always mature better than what it is today, right? But when we take a look back and we look at the core components that really are required, you know, an effective, doesn't need mean to be, it needs to be the best, right? Because everybody's at different maturity levels, smaller companies and bigger companies, you know, but really the first and foremost is establishing, you know, policies around third-party risk management and really defining a governance structure for the program itself, right? Yeah. Those are, you know, starting the gate out like that is very critical, right? You have to have the policies and governance in place organizational-wide, not just an IT or a security function, right? It's actually organizational-wide, you know,
that on makes how... sense. Yeah. You can't really dictate how you're going to treat a vendor or what hoops you're going to make them jump through, what sort of scrutiny you're going to look at them with until you set the bar as an organization on what your policy or risk appetite is, really, right? In working with a vendor.
Yeah, and that really gets into the next really core component, which is really identification of the vendor scope, right? What's the scope of the program? I've gone into programs where their scope is, you know, only, you know, critical vendors that they monitor. Others have a scope that may say only vendors over $10,000 will we put into the program. So, you know, there's flexibility on how to design all that. Again, you know, risk tolerance to the organization really comes into play here, you know. So, you know, identification of the vendor scope and the potential risk to the organization is really one of
not just size, but what they're doing, how they're working with you, what sort of data they're processing, for what purpose.
Correct. What type of access, right? If that vendor went away, what's the risk to the organization, right? Mm-hmm. You know, companies come and go. You know, so, you know, that kind of gets into really, I'm a fan of a tiered approach when it comes to vendors. And we'll get into this a little bit more as we go through this, but, you know, not every vendor is the same, right? So it's based on access, based upon what data, the criticality to the organization, you know, those types of components that go into an effective vendor management program, and tying that and the likelihood together really starts to build out a profile.
So policy, you know, inventorying or assessing of the vendors, and then really departmentalizing them or creating a program based on the certain risks they pose are the core components, which leads to the next question, what you were just getting at. What's the most efficient or effective way to then assess a vendor you're onboarding or considering onboarding or adding to the organization, their security posture, right? The risk they pose to your organization, A, based on what they do, how they're going to do it, and with, you know, what company information they're using, but then also B, all right, this is what they are. It's highly critical based on the type of organization they are, their size or their scope. Now, how do we assess how adept they are or adequate they are from a security posture standpoint?
Yeah, so once, you know, typically once we get through the exercise of identifying, you know, the vendors, really internally looking at the risks to the organization based upon what they have access to, what services they provide, you know, will that service interrupt your business? Things of that nature, then we're putting them into what I like to call the tier buckets, right? High, medium, low, just for the sake of argument, right? High being my most critical vendors, moderate or medium being those mid-tier vendors. And then low vendors are really those low-risk vendors, right? It could be the person coming in and watering the flowers in the organization, right? They're still a vendor. They're still having physical access potentially to the organization, but they're extremely low risk at that point, right? Mm-hmm. So once we get that all defined, really the next step is to define a questionnaire, a profile and a questionnaire that meets the criticality that they pose to the organization. Personally, I like to tailor questionnaires to a standard, right? Whether that's NIST, 853 low or moderate, depending upon how large of an organization they are, or the NIST CSF, right? Those are common areas that provide controls and safeguards that we can pose to our customer that will actually give us good insight into how mature, you know, the maturity of their security program, right? And the effectiveness of their program as well, right? The other thing that, you know, we typically look at is really, you know, with that profile, what certifications do they carry, right? Those types of things can be asked right up front, you know, as they're onboarding into the organization. Usually attestations are annually. So, you know, that's going to go into the ongoing monitoring program as well, right? We're going to want to look at all that stuff.
But once that we itself, you know, not to interrupt your talk track there, but I mean, that itself creates layers, okay, right? Because what type of certification, who is the auditor, what's the quality of that auditor?
Correct.
How long, you know, was the period of testing? I mean, and so on and so on. I mean, it can really spiderweb, right?
It can. And I don't think that just obtaining an attestation or a certification is the end all the be all, right? I think organizations still need to go through their due diligence on their own, you know, to validate additional, you know, benchmarks that they want to receive, that they want to obtain as evidence, right? To ensure that that vendor actually, you know, meets the criteria that they've defined and the risk tolerance that they have. And so, you know, a lot of that is really that evidence is policies and procedures, attestations, it's incident response and communication. Very, very important, right? You know, incident response and communication usually falls into the regulatory stuff as well. It should be a part of anyone's program, but, you know, if you look at the SEC rules, right, there's so much time. You only have a certain amount of time to be able to report a breach, right? Mm-hmm. And if your third party can't apply with those type of timelines, then you're not going to be able to comply with those timelines. And then you're the entity that's going to get fined, right? So there's a lot to consider as you start looking at the evidential stuff that you're collecting. and does it meet? Because there may be some type of mitigation function, right, that needs to be put in place if it's a critical vendor that is required for the business, right? There may be gaps. And again, that's where the mitigation kind of component comes in. If they're developing software for you, right, you got to make sure that you're collecting, you know, the appropriate stuff. Are there people trained appropriately for secure coding best practices? You know,
so it sounds like a baseline of applicable compliance or regulatory certifications or frameworks is a good starting point, but can't stop there. You know, you need to have additional customized with your business in mind and the type of vendor in mind based on their profile from a questionnaire you put together, additional steps or, you know, I guess, don't cross this line type requirements that, okay, you've got a SOC 2, that's great, or you're certified against this, that's great. But based on this sort of thing, we really want to see X, Y, and Z as part of your security program.
Correct. Absolutely. Right. It's an additional layer of assurance to the organization when they're dealing specifically with the critical vendors, right? And when I go into organizations and my team goes into new organizations and we're consulting with implementing, you know, third-party risk management programs or helping organizations enhance them, we always want to start off with let's just say, you know, we don't need a full SIG, right? That's 1,000 questions, right? I'm a fan of keeping it right-sized, if that makes sense, right? You start off with a baseline. Let's, for an example, say 100 questions that you're asking your most critical, you know, vendors, right? Those that are tiered in the critical bucket. Mm-hmm. You know, you may pare that down to 50 in your moderate, right? Less risk, tolerance is less, the likelihood of an impact from them is less. They may not have access to sensitive data, but there's still core functions of the security program you want to get insight into.
Right. Okay. Tell me how I'm tracking so far. You should have a third-party vendor risk management program. A, that's easy, low-hanging fruit. How you implement this program should be based on starting with policies, organizational governance, on what is an effective program based on the business we do and the type of vendors we're onboarding. Yep. And what rules are we going to play by ultimately, or govern ourselves and our relationship with them by. Then from there, develop some sort of questionnaire to tier the vendors coming in, right? High, medium, low risk, or big, small, large, or critical, not critical based on what they're doing. And then establish some baseline. Well, we'll accept these sort of certifications or compliance attestations on their behalf, but then based on the tier or the size or the structure or the scope, here are additional lines of questions. Could be as little as, you know, 100 more questions or less than that, or bigger and bigger and bigger based on the criticality, the impact, and the risk.
Correct.
So then the big piece after that, and probably a good closing point, is done all that, that's great, built the program, we assess them when they come on. How does this become a living, breathing program that's adaptive, right, that continues to monitor them as they change and the organization change? That seems like a difficult task.
It can be a very difficult task. There's one component in the overall program that we need to discuss that wasn't brought up, which is really the contractual side, right?
Yeah.
After you go through that and you're going to onboard, contracting is critical. And this is where the legal entity of the organization has to play a role as well, right? Right. Like I said, it's organizational wide. You need to make sure that you have the right language in your contracts to manage the expectations with the entity that's being on board, right? The vendor. You know, things that you may want to consider in that is language that centers around, and this is part of the monitoring program, is that you will conduct an annual risk assessment against them based upon the questionnaires that you provide, right? Another area is, what are the security and compliance requirements? If you're SOC 2, we expect you to maintain your SOC 2 certification annually. We would like a copy of that. Those are things in the language that protect the, in the contracts, language in the contracts that can protect the organization, as well as, incident response and breach notification. I talked about that kind of with the SEC rule. Very critical. If you're on a four-day clock to be able to notify, the SEC that you've had a breach to a third party, you may want to back that down if the third party has 72 hours to notify.
Right. Right?
You need some runway there. And then termination clauses if they're non-compliant. Those are things that you got to be ready to address, and contracts is a great area to kind of do that.
And another factor and component to have to manage on an ongoing basis too.
Correct. So I just wanted to get that in there real fast, right? So when you're building out your monitoring program, now there are companies out there that can assist you with monitoring, your third-party entities, right? Like BitSight, Security Scorecard, Black Kite, who we're a partner with Black Kite. I really like them. I use them in the VCSO because it gives me great insight into, the external areas that I can focus on to really gauge the maturity of the organization. And it gives me a score on that. And it covers 20 different areas. And there's a lot of organizations that will use those tools to monitor, usually critical vendors. But that's not the end all be all either, right? They still do the annual assessment. They still make sure that they fit into their organization's risk profile or tolerance, right? Again, making sure that you get awareness if things change in the organization. Again, another contractual language thing you may want to include, that if they go through significant infrastructure changes, or, they're moving, let's just say, services out of the data center up to one of the cloud providers, right? You want to have some type of awareness and keep that communication going with the vendors. So the organization can react to the vendor making those changes and be aware, right? Awareness is a lot, right? The other thing is periodic audits. Always want to make sure that you do periodic audits. Typically, most organizations will do annually. There are some instances where we're starting to see semi-annual audits that may be pared down a little bit just to do a spot check, see how things are going.
Not as deep, but more often.
Correct. Yeah. Others is, if your third party is providing, external services or pass-through services, you may want to, implement a vulnerability assessment and penetration testing, and do that annually too, and get some additional insights into, the health of their application and what is it being exposed externally. There could be ports and services that, could leave them vulnerable. In information security, more eyes on things is a lot better than less eyes, right? People see things differently and
the right eyes.
I would agree with that, right? But what I'm saying is sometimes somebody else who's not so close to it can see something that others don't.
Absolutely.
Right? Because at the end of the day,
that's why we work here.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we're all in it together, to be honest with you, right? And I think really a really critical area is really internally, creating risk reporting based off of those vendors or multiple vendors, that gets cascaded, throughout the organization.
Yeah.
Right. So if things change, people in the organization, those that may be senior to you, like, COO or the entity in the organization who owns the relationship with the vendor, gets awareness that their posture has changed.
Yeah.
Right. Having those open conversations when that happens is critical, right? Because, at the end of the day, we're entrusted with the data, our customers' data, our corporate sensitive data, right? And being proactive as opposed to reactive is a good way, to be able to get ahead of that. And again, like you said, it's defense in depth at the end of the day. There's multiple layers here.
Yeah, and it's just speculation because I'm not an executive of a big company with, you know, big vendor network, but I would imagine that the struggle day in and day out is, well, how much money do we throw at this, right? How much of our revenue goes towards this, and where's the balance of defensive and offensive, and what's the right fit? Because somebody said it once. I forgot the quote, but it ultimately has to do with I just lost it. But it was a great security quote, basically about, you know, the cost of something.
Right? Yeah. And, well, I was going
to. It's always too expensive until it's not. Something to that degree.
Correct. You know, unfortunately, most companies that go through a breach, most smaller or medium companies that have a breach, whether it's, you know, through their own or through a third party, you know, struggle to recover from that, and some don't. Right. So what's the cost of? So what's the cost of your reputation? Right. What does your reputation mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, not any. You know, obviously, everybody would say it means the world, but that's why there's budgets, and that's why there's allocation, and this goes here and this goes there, and it's a lot to run the machine. But I think that's a great stopping point, because what I would leave our audience with, our viewers and our listeners, is there are many layers, and you can go deeper and deeper into each of these components and each of these topics that Steve has discussed here today. And it's about building the best mousetrap for your company. And that's going to be different everywhere. And so customization, adaptation, constant innovation on it are just important factors that have to be part of it. And that's going to require technology, but people, a whole lot. So,
you know, you just brought up a really key component that I wanted to touch on right at the end. Was the last component that you want, that's critical, is to review your program annually as well, and to mature where it needs to maturity.
Yeah.
Right. It's living and breathing.
Yeah. Easier said than done. So, well, Steve, thanks for coming on. For our audience, if you're interested in asking questions, learning more about this, how Compliance Point helps with third-party vendor risk management, the design of programs, or the ongoing maintenance of programs, please don't hesitate to reach out to Steve or myself. We're both on LinkedIn. You can email us, first initial, last name, so shaley@compliancepoint.com or jeisner@compliancepoint.com. And you can email in just generally to Compliance Point, connect@compliancepoint.com. We would be more than happy to field your questions and concerns. Until next time, thank you, Steve, and thank you, audience.
Thank you for having me, Jordan.
Yep. See ya.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.